Sports and Recreation reporting on SDPB is supported by Regional Health, helping patients and communities live well.
SDPB's Nate Weck joins us on Wednesdays to discuss sports, recreation, high school activities, and the arts. Today he has more details about an upcoming documentary on Rapid City post-22 baseball. Nate, welcome back.
Hey, how you doing, Steve?
Really good. Well, you kind of teased this a little while ago in your visits with Lori Walsh here on In the Moment. What more can you tell us about this documentary?
Well, it's going to air October 5th. That's the tentative deadline right now that we want to air this. That's a Thursday. It'll be in the evening. Kind of going back, I know I talked to Lori a little bit about what post-22 baseball means to the community of Rapid City and what they've meant to the community really over the past 5-6 decades, mm-hmm. since 1965,
yeah.
When they really started to kind of pick up the pace. They won their first state title in 61, won again in 62, 63. 65, they bring a new head coach in, and it's a guy that everybody knows. He's a South Dakota Sports Hall of Famer, Dave Plouffe.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I mentioned the name to Lori before, but did want to dive a little bit more into Dave Plouffe a little bit and how he is viewed by the post-22 community. Obviously, Dave passed away in May of this past year, so not too long ago, and his death is still very fresh in the community and throughout that post-22 family. But the thing about Dave that is most impressive, and you know, everybody talks about the accolades and winning the 1993 national championship and how big of a deal that was, not just to the community of Rapid City and for post-22, but how big of a deal that was for South Dakota to go to the American Legion World Series and win the thing. And not just, and they've been there 8 times under Dave Plouffe, but to actually get there one of those years and to win it, you know, that also, it's kind of a little bit of a cherry on the top of kind of the legacy of him.
What does it take to win a national championship? Do you have to go through regional play? And then how does that all take place?
Yeah, so there's the state, obviously there's like the state district, state regional tournaments that figure out those 8 teams for the state tournament, the American Legion state tournament. If you win the state tournament, like Pierre did this last year, then you go on to the national regional tournament. If you win, there's 8 regions separated, and if you win one of those, then you're one of the 8 lucky teams that gets a chance to go on to the American Legion World Series and compete for that national championship.
Where's the American Legion World Series? Does that change locations every year?
Yeah, it changes every year. Funny you bring that up, because in 2005, one of the years that post-22 went to the World Series, Floyd Fitzgerald Stadium in Rapid City actually hosted the darn thing. So that's kind of cool. Everybody, when we were out there and we talked to them, we said, like, what are some of your memories? Pretty much everybody we talked to brought up something about how cool it was for not just for Rapid City to be able to host the American Legion World Series in 2005, but that the fact that post-22 was playing in it as well, mm-hmm. and the fans got an opportunity that normally wouldn't get to travel to see a national regional tournament or to ever go to a World Series. They had the opportunity to attend that event and to see post-22 at that stage of competition.
We all know that we've seen some Major League Baseball players come out of Rapid City, and Dave Plouffe has played a big role, mm-hmm. in the lives of those players. Were any of them on that 93 National Championship team?
You know, I believe that's a really good question, and you're testing my knowledge right now. I know Calvin Torvey was not. He played in the 70s.
Sure.
Their current coach, Mitch Messer, he didn't go on to the Major Leagues, but he played. He went on and played college ball. He played from 93 to 97, so he was on that team. Dave Collins was not. It was a major leaguer. He, mm-hmm. was not on the 93 team. Ellis might have been.
He might have been around that area.
Yeah,
Dave Collins was
been.
70s, I think.
Yeah,
maybe
Dave
early
Collins
80s.
Set the, yeah. home run record of 17 home runs in a season for post-22 in 71. And then Colin Hofer beat that record in 95, 97, somewhere in that range, in the mid-90s, with 18, or he actually had more than 18, but he eclipsed Dave Collins. But yeah, I'd have to dive back into the books a little bit on that. There's only about 4 major leaguers that have come out of post-22's program, but one of the more impressive stats, at one point in the 80s and 90s, 50% of the major leaguers that were 50% of the players that were going into the major leagues had spent time playing American Legion baseball.
Yeah,
so that shows that they're doing something right and that you're getting a certain level of talent and a certain level of commitment from the players that are saying, I want to play, I want to try out to play American Legion ball.
Any idea what Dave Plouffe's overall coaching record was in his time with Post 22?
Yeah, I know he had over 2,000 wins. He's the winningest coach in American Legion baseball history. 2,483 wins, 808 losses. But the most impressive thing when you look at all of that, in his 47 years of coaching, he won 34 state titles, and he never had a losing season. And the year that they won it in 93, they only had 5 losses the entire year.
Wow.
So that right there, it's a team that, and everybody that we talked to, Dave Plouffe was very disciplined. He always went with the motto, if you're 5 minutes early, you're late. We want people to be at practice with a significant amount of time before it starts to get ready, do what you need to do, because at 4 o'clock, everybody's on that field, stretches are done, and we're practicing. So it wasn't like you had, it's a different culture. It's treated like almost like a college football team where on the field, we're going.
Yeah.
And the discipline, and if they didn't play well. We even heard a story of one of the better players on one of the teams one year hit a triple. Bases were loaded, hit a bases clearing triple. This guy slides into third and is safe, completes the triple. Dave Plouffe took him out of the game because he was wearing a necklace. And that's the other thing that one of the other coaches had told us, that to be a good coach, which Dave was, it's almost like being a good parent.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be disciplined,
mm-hmm.
and you have to be fair. And that's what Dave was. He was disciplined. Didn't matter if you were the best player on the team or if you were one of the weaker links on the team. If you did something stupid, you were going to get the same amount of discipline. Didn't matter who you were.
Yeah. It reminds me of yesterday's conversation that Chris Loffrey had with Jeff Riley, the coach of the Sioux Falls Little League baseball
right.
team, in talking about the Japanese team and how they would practice for 6 hours a day when they were in Williamsport. I mean, that's discipline too.
Isn't that crazy when you see the amount of commitment? I mean, really, when coaches say, we start our program is built on the practice field, and what we do in practice correlates over to the games. And that is 100% testament when you see teams like Japan that are practicing 6 hours a day. That's where it all stems from. That's why that's why coaches take it so seriously, that you need to treat practice and come in every day ready to work, because your work ethic on that practice field, it's not going to correlate over to a game unless you can get those kinks worked out.
Part of our conversation today is you wanted to bring in some comments from the man that's announced for Post 22 for several years.
Yeah, 41 years. Tom Rudebush has been the announcer for Post 22 baseball. He was kind of our PR director a little bit when we went out there setting up interviews, trying to tell us who we could speak to and things like that. And we did ask him about the death of Dave.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom kind of spoke a little bit on that and gave some of his thoughts.
I was honored. They asked me to give Dave's eulogy at his funeral. And when I was putting that together, I kind of scrapped it, because I had known Dave since 1975. I had roomed with him several years on the road. We had shared moments away from baseball.
Isn't that the case? When you know somebody for so long, you throw away the notes and you can just speak from the heart.
Right. And that right there, is just, and you could see it in his eyes when he was talking to us. And you'll see it in the documentary too, because that is a clip we are going to use in the piece. And you can see it. You can see it in Tom's eyes that there was a lot of respect, a lot of love for Coach Plouffe and a man that he worked with so many years. And one other thing that Tom did say, which I also thought was interesting, is Tom, for 30-some years when he was doing games when Coach Plouffe was there, for 37 years or something like that, Coach Plouffe never at the end of the year said, okay, Tom, we'll see you next year. He always made Tom call him and say, well, I suppose we'll give you another year. And that was kind of how the conversation went. He said, every year I only had one conversation in the off season with Dave, and it was about, yep, I suppose we'll let you, I think you did well last year, I think we'll give you another year. And it continued like that for 30 plus years.
What, in the remaining time we have left, maybe something in working on this documentary, maybe something that surprised you or something that really sticks out as something you'll remember for a long time as working on this?
Well, growing up in Sioux Falls and in the Sioux Empire area, you always knew who Post 22 was. Mm-hmm. And you kind of get a mindset of, I've never seen this group, but, you know, I have to imagine that, you know, after winning as much as they win and doing, having all the success that that program's had over the years, the people would maybe be a little cocky. They'd maybe walk around with their heads up high and maybe be a little too good to talk to us type of thing. Wasn't the case at all. The complete opposite. They were open, welcoming, talking to other fans, making, you know, and since the state tournament was in Rapid this year, you had a lot of Post 22 parents and family and things like that that were helping put on the tournament, whether it was taking ticket stubs, running the concessions, selling merchandise, things like that. And just to see how they conversed with the fans, joking around and laughing and just having a good time. And if we ever needed somebody to talk to, we'd talk to somebody and they'd say, oh yeah, go over here and talk to so-and-so. They're a great person. And it was just like the complete opposite of what I thought going into it. Everybody was so nice, so warm, so welcoming. Do you need anything else? Can we get you anything? If you guys are looking for the hospitality room, it's over here, and we're gonna have some sandwiches in there around 2 o'clock. You know, just so welcoming. And that was probably the biggest thing that I took away was they preached that they were a family. Yeah. And that's the way it came off when we talked to them.
A trickle down effect from Dave.
Right. Yeah, and that's kind of the takeaway we got.
SDPB's Nate Weck is a weekly contributor on In the Moment. Nate, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Steve.
You bet.